I want to introduce our guest speaker, Pastor Tim Tanner. And he's going to tell you all about his ministry, what he and Beth will be doing. Now, I met Pastor Tim, I think it was just about 20 years ago. And he was coming into Faith Baptist Bible College as I was going out. In fact, I had graduated in the spring, and he started that fall. He's just a punk kid back then. And we overlapped because we went to the same church. He joined Urbandale Baptist Church, where I was a member. And he even remembers, Pastor Paul, did you meet Pastor Logan Freese? Did you meet him? Where's Pastor Paul at? You didn't meet him? He was in the area. Logan Freese was a college student at the time. Pastor Tanner remembers Logan, and Pastor Tanner and I did a special. What was it, an offertory with our guitars? Or just a special music? And I don't remember that. But Pastor Tim said that was the first time he'd ever done a special with his guitar. I think it was the last time I ever did one with one of those. And so this is how long I've known the man, except I haven't seen him for 20 years. So it's just a joy to have him here. He's going to tell you all about what they're doing because they're heading to our area. So Pastor Tim, come on up, and the time is yours, okay?
Well, that whole thing with the guitar special, Pastor, you just need to pick better company when you play. Well, it is good to be here today. It's also good to see Dave and Kathy Little, friends from back in Ohio, and back at our sending church in Elyria. And so it is good to be here, good to fellowship. We've enjoyed our time so far. And I'm excited to share a little bit about what God's doing in our lives with Campus Bible Fellowship International. And let me just tell you a little bit about our family. My wife just ran out for children's church, so her name is Beth. You can say hi to her later. My son, Timmy, is right here in the fourth row back, and Olivia is right next to him. And there are kids, both homeschooled and enjoy traveling around and seeing new parts of the country most days. There are some days they just want to sleep in, but that's all right. Don't we all? We are with Baptist Mid-Missions Campus Bible Fellowship International, and I'll share obviously more about that in just a few minutes, but I just want to share a little bit about our story, because one thing that I have realized in our travels and just being able to interact with other churches and with brothers and sisters in Christ around the country is that nobody's story of how God calls them is the same. It's always different, which I absolutely love, because that tells you the creativity and the love that our Heavenly Father has for us, because he strategically places us where he wants us, when he wants us there, and then guides and directs our steps as we stay faithful to him. Our story is a unique story. As Pastor said, I started off at Faith out in Iowa and then ended up transferring after they moved away. They couldn't figure out why they didn't hear about me at Faith anymore. Well, I wasn't there. And we went to college up in Wisconsin, and I met my wife while I was finishing up schooling, and we started into teaching Christian schools. And I was sure that that was the ministry that God had for me, and I figured if it was possible that I would retire from teaching in a Christian school. I'm still not totally sure if that's a possibility or not, but that was my plan. And I was excited about it, and I was loving what I was doing, and I was being involved in young people's lives. My wife taught until we started having our children. And that was part of our life. That was our life. We absolutely loved it. And it was back in probably 2013 when the only way that I can actually describe what I was experiencing and what we were really starting to pray about was that God, we just felt that God was going to do something different with us. He wanted us in a different ministry. And at the time, we didn't know at all what that was going to be. And so we really started praying and seeking him and saying, Lord, if Christian school is not where you want us, where is that? And so as a couple, we really started looking into our married life. At that point, we had been married for about 10 years and really started to seek out what God had allowed us to be a part of. And as we went through those 10 years or so that we had been married, we realized that there was not a year that had gone by that God had not brought college students into our lives. Whether it was simply picking them up from the local secular university for church on Sunday mornings or teaching a class or Bible study for the college age, or it was simply having high school students from the school that I taught at graduate and then go from being a student to becoming a friend and being able to interact with their lives and speak into their lives and encourage them. But we had realized that God had not let a year go by of our married life that he had not brought that age group into play somewhere throughout those years. And at that point, we really started looking at each other and saying, we really enjoy that too. And at that, it was absolutely hilarious how it all worked out. And obviously the Lord was working everything because the school that we taught at in Wisconsin couldn't afford to keep us on anymore. And so we started looking and working through, okay, where does God want us to teach? Well, he took us to Elyria, Ohio. And he took us to First Baptist there in Elyria, where, I don't know, half of the Baptist Mid home office are members. And it was still another several 6 or 7 years before we realized that Baptist Mid had a college outreach. And we could just see that one step at a time, God started opening this concept of college ministry to us. He didn't reveal that Baptist Mid had a ministry to college until he started working in our hearts and kind of drawing us that direction. And then at that point, it was as simple as asking a friend of ours that happened to be an employee at Baptist Mid out to dinner to sit down and talk with them and share our hearts with them and kind of feel the whole ministry out. And so God really kind of worked in a unique way. By the time we were all in, we were ready to join Baptist Mid and be on campus next month, our pastor wanted me to teach one more year in our school. And he wanted us to be involved in the college more heavily than we already were at the church. And so we had to take a deep breath and say, okay, Lord, we'll follow the lead of our pastor. We'll be patient for another year. And it was about 3 weeks later I realized I was not going to have a job at the school the next year. So pastor's initial plans went out, and he came up to us the next week and pulled us aside. And I love Pastor Odell because he just has a way with people and way with words. But he pulled us aside and says, I need to talk to you for a minute. He goes, I really think you need to pray about going short-term with Campus Bible Fellowship next year or this fall. And we're at the beginning of the summer. He wanted us to start that fall. So we'll talk more about it later. And he leaves us standing there. Here we were in the mindset of this whole one more year, you know. It's going to take us a full year to get involved. And we went from that to, wow, we have a lot of paperwork to do to get ready to go for the fall. But again, God was preparing our hearts, testing. I truly believe he was testing to see whether or not we were truly willing to follow his lead. And when he was, he opened the door wide open. And by that fall, we were full bore down at Cleveland State University, working with a ministry that is already established. And that year did nothing more than just infiltrate our hearts and give us a more of a burning for this ministry and for the need on college campuses. And so that's kind of our story, and that's where we have been. And I always love to just share a part of that. When I was in college and I was sitting out the semester that I set out between Faith and Maranatha, I was at a missions conference at a church in Michigan, and I was challenged that I had never given my heart to the Lord. I trusted him as my savior. I had followed him in baptism. I'd been faithful serving all these years at college. But I had never told him from my heart, Lord, I will do anything you want me to do. I will go anywhere you want me to go? And it was at that missions conference that the Lord worked in my heart. And that started this whole concept of ministry going. And it was a privilege last year to walk into that church, not as a visitor at their missions conference, but as one of the missionaries that they had called to come join them for their missions conference. And I was able to stand before that congregation and share with them how their love and how their service for God impacted my life. You know, I could go through and I could share all of the different kinds of people who have impacted me and directed me really towards where I'm at today. And we don't have time for that, but I can tell you this much, folks. You don't know the impact that your church can have on this younger generation here. It's incredible to see the reaction of college students that we work with who have grown up in church. And some of them did have that good interaction with people. Some did have that older generation speaking into their lives, and some didn't. And the dramatic difference in where they were when they went into college is absolutely mind-boggling. So don't ever underestimate the little things that you do to encourage the younger folks in this church. And I'm talking the littles all the way up to the college age. If they're younger than you, speak into their lives. That is what we're supposed to be doing with one another. Edification, encouraging one another. So enough about us. Well, I'm going to show you a video that talks a little more about us, but let me just share a little bit about what we're doing. College ministry is a unique ministry. It's not a church growth or a church, well, it is a church growth because we're hopefully leading souls to the Lord and they join churches, but it's not a church planting type ministry. It's a ministry that funnels students from the secular college campus into local churches. And that's our ultimate goal. We don't want to have a church on campus. We don't want to be our own little ministry. We want to work with churches in the area around the campus. And the verse that comes to my mind every time I think of college ministry is the one that's up on the screen, 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's college ministry. What people have spoken into my life, I am now able to speak into these college guys and young ladies' lives and then see them, Lord willing, be able to do the exact same thing to that next generation. And many, many, many times that starts with their need for salvation. It starts with their need for Christ and his forgiveness. But sometimes it also means a young believer or a student who has been a believer for several years and just has never grown. And we're able to speak into their lives and share the truth of God's word with them and see them grow. And I can tell you story after story just in the few years that we've been involved in ministry that we have seen God work in amazing ways in students' lives that we have been privileged to be a part of. But that is kind of the gist, reaching the next generation for Christ. What I'd like to do now, I've got to make a quick transition here, but what I'd like to do now is show you about a 7-minute video telling a little bit about, I hit the wrong button. Here we go. Oh, Pastor, you went a long ways in trusting me with your computer. Whew. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, I need lots of help. All right, let's try it this way. We'll come back to this in a moment. And here it is, right here.
So, with millions of people around the globe still waiting to hear the gospel, why should we go across the street to the university campus? There are more than 130 million college students worldwide who will become the next generation of leaders, lawmakers, and influencers of society. More than 20 million of those students attend universities here in the United States. Many of them travel from countries all around the world to attend our universities, which will shape their thinking as they pursue a degree. Whether a commuter student or dorm resident, students spend large portions of their day in colleges and universities where morals, values, and worldviews are taught, usually without God in mind. Consider names like Benjamin Netanyahu or Salam Fayyad. These men are just two of many world leaders who have attended American universities. Imagine the potential impact if these men and others like them had been reached with the gospel during their college years. Today, we still have the freedom to take the gospel to this desperate mission field, places where students often come with a misunderstanding of who God is, have never heard the name of Jesus, or claim to follow him, but have never been grounded in the truth. We are taking the gospel to these students through Campus Bible Fellowship International, the University Ministry of Baptist Mid-Missions. When recognized as a student organization on campus, we have the freedom to walk the campus, meet students, answer questions, give away tracts and literature, and hold Bible studies. Our weekly group Bible study on campus is open to students, staff, and faculty, regardless of their faith. Here, they can learn about God, dig into the scripture, ask questions, and meet other Christians. Some students request personal Bible studies. This provides a time for them to study God's Word individually, to carefully explore the Bible that may have been forbidden in their own country, or to learn about God, of whom they know little. Whether through group or one-on-one Bible studies, these opportunities help disciple the student after they have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and are invaluable for those who have come to us as young Christians that have never been grounded in their faith. These Bible studies also allow an in-depth time that is needed when a student suddenly realizes that they do not know what they believe or do not know how to stand for the truth. Investing hours in their lives brings about a student who can go back to their home or go out into the world with sound doctrine and a stable understanding of what it means to be a believer in Jesus, someone who is ready to biblically influence their world for Christ. Campus Bible Fellowship International is a bridge that connects the students to the local church. While we minister on campus during the week and bring students to church with us on Sunday, the local church can be intricately involved in campus ministry as well. Church members can help us on campus to give away literature, help prepare special events, bake cookies or make meals for Bible study, fill gift bags for newly arriving international students, pick up students for church, express hospitality in their home, lead Bible studies, or just talk to the students when they come to church. The church aids in accountability for the local CBFI ministry. Most importantly, the church can pray. We are the Tanners, and God has called us to this great mission field. During the 2014-15 school year, God allowed us to join CBFI as short-term missionaries. We worked on the campus of Cleveland State University, where a CBFI organization is already recognized. Throughout that year, we worked with CBFI missionary Mary Amesbury and experienced the many facets of campus ministry. Both of us were given the opportunity to teach Bible studies, work one-on-one with students, help organize special events, and see the incredible impact a campus ministry can have. The Lord used the experiences and relationships we developed during that time to confirm in our hearts that He wants us to serve Him full-time with Campus Bible Fellowship International.
Campus Bible Fellowship really enabled me just to see where my heart was. And God was working on my heart and showing me that music therapy and occupational therapy, those things weren't what was in my future, but that ministry was. And Campus Bible Fellowship is really the catalyst for that and really where I met the people who encouraged me in that the most and who walked with me through those changes and those processes.
When I came to CBF and I saw the leaders around me, it really revealed to me that I was only a fan of Christ. I was only a fan of the gospel, and I wasn't really following Christ. And so some of the leaders from CBF really showed me what it meant to follow Christ, what it meant to give Him your all, what it meant to make him the Lord of your life.
Because of my involvement with CBF in college, I've been able to see God work in a lot of different ways in my life and the lives of others. And I've been able to get more of a Bible knowledge as well through the lessons every week and the Bible studies. And it's really been helpful to me to be able to meet with other believers that are more mature in their faith and who are able to kind of disciple me. And it's also been a good experience to be able to pass on what I do know to other people who are also new to CBF or new Christians or not Christians yet.
Would you labor with us in prayer for the students, professors, and faculty whom God has called us to reach? Whether connecting with students at the literature table, sitting on a bench, or through word of mouth, it becomes obvious that the university is a significant part of the millions across the street who are waiting to hear. Through Campus Bible Fellowship International, we can make a difference, one life at a time.
As I make this transition again, hopefully a little smoother than the last time. The last girl that was that shared her testimony, Sarah, she actually came to Campus Bible Fellowship at Cleveland because her friends forced her to come, basically. She was an extreme introvert. She wanted nothing to do with the Lord. But because they befriended her and really encouraged her to come, she started coming. And as a result, her freshman year, she trusted Christ as her Savior. And let me tell you, you want a testimony of how God changes lives? She's the one. Now she's the one that's excited about telling others and inviting others. She's an officer in the actual campus club for CBF in Cleveland. And she is really excited about wanting to learn and grow. And all three of those students we had the privilege of working with while we were in Cleveland. And they're dear friends of ours still to this day. And we love them. We love them to death. A little bit about college ministry and kind of narrow it down for us as we wrap this portion up here. Just some statistics about just the United States, okay? So you can see there, 4,500 plus colleges and universities, over 22 million students. Over a million of those students are from foreign countries. Now think about that number. That's an incredible, incredible potential. And I'd like to add this little statistic to it. If you took all of the college students within the United States of America today, it would rank number 55 on the world's most populated countries. Many of the countries above that are well missionaried, I guess you could say. They're very popular countries that we would consider to be popular for missions to go to. Many of the countries around and below this, some of them I had never heard of. And the possibility of reaching a small portion of this people group is an incredible, incredible possibility. And we're excited that the Lord is drawing us that direction. The need on campus. If you've ever visited a college university, and I hear rumors you have a couple of colleges and universities around here. Just rumors I've heard. If you didn't get it, talk to your neighbor later. They're not necessarily friendly to God, to the Bible. We could tell you story after story of what students have actually told us had taken place in classrooms where the topic of the class had nothing to do with religion, but it naturally went there in a negative light, whether it was to the Bible or it was to God. That happens. That's normal. The teaching on college campuses, secular college campuses today, is teaching an anti-God philosophy, period. Very few exceptions to that. Students are open to learning. You go to college for, well, these days, more than one reason. Some people go to college just to party. But most students go to college with the mindset that I am here to learn. I'm open-minded to learn something new. What a better place to reach them with the truth of God's word than at a time in their life when they're looking for new things, when they're interested in finding out new ideas and new thoughts. Students are making life-changing decisions. I'm sure I could have a hand-raising moment here. And if I asked how many of you during your college age years made life-changing decisions, whether it was for salvation or it was for who you were going to marry or what kind of a job you were going to have. You know, many other options there when it comes to these decisions that are going to impact my life forever. This is the time period. This is when they need the Lord the most, if you want to use that phrase. We always need the Lord, but at this point, those decisions are so important in where they're heading for the rest of their lives. You know, we have the world in our own backyard. Over 1 million foreign students coming into this country, desperate not only to learn English, not only to learn from their professors and the topic that they want to study, but the majority of them want to understand American culture while they're here. And we could, again, tell you stories of students who just wanted to be a part of a family. What does it mean, like, what does it mean to be a part of a family? And those are opportunities that are just extremely, extremely fruitful when it comes to opening conversation about the Lord. So the need on campus is huge. Now, if you're not sure where Syracuse University is, it's in Syracuse, New York. It's right near downtown. I was in Wisconsin 3 weeks ago. Can you tell? No, Syracuse is where God has led us. We're excited about the possibility of coming here. We've visited campus and we've been around the area, and we're excited to do more of that while we're on deputation. But just a few facts about this year. Syracuse has just under 23,000 students representing all 50 states and 126 countries. Not just U.S. students, again. It is an opportunity to reach out to college students from countries that you and I could never dream of going there to be a missionary. But they're coming here, and my favorite part, they're having to learn English. That's my best language. And I can talk to them and interact with them and get to know them, help them learn their English better, or just have them, as Beth mentioned this morning, one of our favorite terms in college ministry is life-on-life ministry. It's getting to know them, a personal relationship with them, so that they can see Christ in us and we can work in their lives, or he can work in their lives as we introduce them to him. But Syracuse University is where the Lord has directed us. I'm hearing that you are familiar with Paul and Sandra Jewell. Paul and Sandra are dear friends of ours. We've known them for several years now and are excited to join them and to work with them. Our prayer is that we can be there by the fall of 2020 at the latest. So that'll give us a few years or a couple years to really work with them on campus, get to know the campus, get to know the ministry, the feel of the campus. Every campus ministry is completely different. It's got some general characteristics, but every campus, it's almost like going to a foreign country. You have to learn the ropes. You have to learn who you have to work with. You got to find out who you need to know so you can keep the right people happy, to keep recognition on campus, those kind of things. And so our desire is that by 2020, the Lord would allow us to move up here to Syracuse and be able to begin work with them on campus. And then ultimately the plan is that if the Lord continues to work in that direction, which we believe he will, is that when the Jewels retire, then we will assume the leadership of the ministry on campus and continue that ministry going. And so that is our desire, that is our goal, and that is what God is moving us towards, and we're really excited about it. So what can you do? What can anybody do? And these are for us, obviously, but these are for missions in general, really. The first thing is pray. Pray that God would supply the finances, the support that is needed to be able to get on the field and to be at full speed on the field. One of our great desires is that churches would catch the vision, the need for college outreach in colleges and universities near them. This is something that we have seen over and over and over again, where a college is, I was just in a church not too long ago where the pastor has had this inkling of needing to get connected to the university that's 3 miles down the road from their church and just has never done anything and really felt that God was working in his heart to get something going. We love hearing that. We love hearing that churches are getting the burden to reach these students. So pray. Join as a ministry partner. One of the easiest and best ways to join is to faithfully pray. And a couple of the ways that you can faithfully pray for the Tanners as we prepare to go to Syracuse and to work is to sign up for our newsletter. It's out on our back table there where you can just sign up. We'll send you monthly or bi-monthly emails. Right now it's bi-monthly. Emails of what God's doing in our lives, where we've been, what God's doing. We usually try and throw a little snippet in there about what's happening with the ministry at Syracuse just to keep everyone who's praying informed, because we don't want just prayer for our family alone. We want prayer for the ministry at Syracuse. It's not our ministry. It's God's ministry, and we get to join it. And so we desire prayer for the ministry itself as well. And then the third one there is to go. Are we willing to go? Are we willing to do what God's called us to do, to pull us out of our comfort zone and to share the gospel message with those around us? What about colleges and universities around here? College students as a general concept. Not necessarily walking onto campus, but interacting with that age group and really working to impact them for life. What can we do? Are we willing to step out of our comfort zone and interact and impact those lives that God's bringing into our hearts? Our favorite statement, eat an orange, pray for Syracuse. I'm guessing most of you can figure out what that means. We have to explain it most places. I would be glad, my wife would be glad to answer any questions that you have about us or about the ministry up there. After the service this morning, I'm going to try and take a few minutes at the end of the service tonight to just open it up for questions. If you have any questions, that's a twofold thing there. You know, number one, if you have a question, come back tonight and ask it. Number two, come back tonight. There you go. All right. But I want to spend just a few minutes as we close up today, and I want to look at a verse that's very familiar to us. We're not going to take long. We're not going to go deep into the Acts 1 and verse 8. We're very familiar with it, but I love the reminder that's there for all of us. You know, missions and missionaries, we always think of going and sharing the gospel message. But God's called all of us to that ministry. Not all of us are leaving home and going to a foreign country or a foreign land or somewhere besides where we're living. Many of us are called to be missionaries right where we live. And that's why I love Acts 1:8, because that's the concept behind it. So I want to just break it down into three parts as we go through and as we wrap up tonight or this morning. It's still morning, isn't it? Acts 1:8. Well, let's just read it here real quick. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Very familiar words. Could take the time and develop this chapter more, but these are basically the last words that Jesus spoke to his followers before he went home to heaven. These are important things. These are last-minute instructions. Now that I'm leaving, this is what you need to do. So it starts off with a promise. And I love that he starts off with a promise, because a lot of times we get the marching orders first, don't we? We like to give those marching orders first, but I look at it this way. As Jesus is standing there looking at his disciples, at the other followers that are with them, in my mind, and I have a creative mind sometimes, but in my mind, he's looking at each one of those disciples, John, you know, going down the list, Matthew, and so on and so on. And he's thinking in his mind, man, I know exactly what this is about to do to their lives. Most of the disciples ended their lives as martyrs for this very command. God knew that. Jesus knew that before he was leaving. Jesus knew about Paul's struggles. Jesus knew about the persecution in the Roman Empire. Jesus knew about the struggles during the Reformation period. He knew about these crazy believers who traveled across the Atlantic Ocean and landed on a continent that nobody had ever heard of before. And he knew you and I are going to be sitting in these pews today. He knew what this command was about to do. And so he starts with the promise, you shall receive power, a reminder for you and me that this command is not something we have to do alone. In fact, we can't do it alone. We have to have God's power working through us. And just a quick reminder of that, this is an estimated picture of what the Milky Way looks like. I love the sky, I love weather. My son and I are certified National Weather Service severe weather spotters, and I've been that for 5 or 6 years. He's joined me a few years ago. So we love this kind of stuff. I have no idea how they got a picture of the Milky Way. Nobody's been there. So they just guess what it looks like, I guess. But for our example, this is the Milky Way. This is where we live. The little line then shows us where our solar system is. You know that solar system we haven't been past the moon in as human beings? Okay, the solar system is somewhere at the end of that dot. Now, if you zoom out a little bit, this is an illustration of what's called the observable universe, a very small percentage of the universe, but this is the part that human eyes have actually seen. Okay, so there's way more than this out there, and I could explain more about how that is or why that is, but we don't have time for a science lesson. But this is the universe, represents the universe that we know. The circle is not our solar system. It's not even our Milky Way. The circle is a supercluster of a whole bunch, hundreds of galaxies like our Milky Way that are in there, in that little circle. All right? Each one of those galaxies, they estimate, well, for example, the Milky Way, they can only estimate up to about 200 billion stars in our Milky Way system. And they estimate in the observable universe there are at least 100 billion other galaxies represented. These are estimates because they don't know. They're clueless. Now, with all of those stars, what is the one verse, the one phrase in the creation account of the universe in Genesis 1 that refers to stars? Can anyone say it out loud? That one phrase, and he made the stars also. Almost, he's talking about the sun, he's talking about the moon. Oh yeah, these are going to be great for the earth, and you know, I'll go into the scientific benefits and everything too, but oh, that's right, and he made the stars also. Almost as if it's a, oh yeah, I should probably mention those because people are going to see those in the sky too. Now, I know I'm being a little facetious here, but work with me. The concept of just the creation of the stars by a word. Folks, the reason I bring this up is that is the power that is accessible to us when it comes to sharing the gospel message. God's power is our promise. So after he's encouraged his disciples and leaders with this promise, which they at this point don't even understand the concept of the Holy Spirit indwelling them yet because they haven't experienced that. They haven't been there. This is all early. So they're listening to this saying, wow, that's cool. And they begin to understand that as they go through the coming days. But then he goes into the precept or the promise, or not the promise, the command. You shall be witnesses for me. The idea of a witness here, if you look at it, is that concept of of what we would think of as a witness in a court of law. They don't just speculate on what they think they know, or what they think they saw, or what they heard. A witness is supposed to tell exactly what they experienced, exactly what they saw, exactly what they heard. Nothing more. That's how it's supposed to work. But that's the concept of what we are being called to be here. We are being called to be a witness for the Lord. Which means then, when I go to witness to someone, go to share the gospel with someone, I need to keep in mind that it's not just the Romans Road. Now, the Romans Road is a great concept. It's great to have an organized plan in sharing the truth of the gospel message with somebody. But it's a lot easier to look at somebody and say, you know what, I'm about to share something that's going to completely change their lives. And the best way to do that is not to jump into verse after verse after verse right away. It's to show them through my life what God has done. And be a witness, witness to that person. What has God done in my life? How has he impacted my life? And at that point, we can transition into, now let me show you how you can experience the same thing. But we are to be witnesses to those around us. And the concept here is just that. Witnesses unto me. Witnesses of what God has done in their lives. And wouldn't it be incredible to have spent 3 years with Jesus and then be able to go out and share with others what God has done in your life? That's where most of these were. They had that opportunity. So the third part there, after we have that command, is the plan. And I love plans. I don't know about you, but plan is a good thing for me. I like plans most of the time. There are sometimes I err away from them, but the plan that that Jesus laid out here is very exciting and unique. The very end of that verse says, you should be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is probably a rendering of what the disciples were thinking at this point. Huh. Because the Roman Empire was primarily the world at this time. Anything outside of that was like not really spoken of. The Romans, that was the world. And so they may have had this mindset of being the world. Ours is a little different today. Ours looks a little more like this. And it's really cool being here because the little dot right in the middle that kind of represents the whole Jerusalem, Judea thing. Well, I tried to get it as close to Syracuse as I possibly could. So really, this is an accurate rendition for us today of what this call for us should look like. And it starts in our Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem is right here. My Jerusalem right now when I'm home is in Du Bois, Pennsylvania. Lord willing, our Jerusalem is going to transition up here soon. But the question that I want to leave with you today is, what are we doing with this command? What are we doing with this plan? And the concept is, and I'm going to knock something over here if I back up any further. The concept here is, what are we doing? How are we doing in our Jerusalem? How are we fulfilling God's command? Are we being witnesses to everyone that we're around, that we come into contact with? And sometimes that witness is not a verbal witness. Sometimes it's just the testimony of who we are and what God is doing in our lives. Sometimes it's just throwing conversation about him into our daily conversation. But what are we doing to be a witness in our Jerusalem? You know, I threw in Matthew 9:36 when Jesus says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers. Are we praying that prayer? Are we really asking the Lord to do that? We are praying that God would send more individuals, more couples to the mission field of college campuses. There are thousands of options. You know, everybody talks about job opportunities, and you know, boy, if you're interested in college ministry, the sky's the limit on where you can go. I mean, let's be honest. There are colleges even in Hawaii. No, I better not go there. But the concept is, we need to be praying that God would send laborers. And then ultimately, as we have kind of realized in our life, and again, I don't have time to share this part of our story this morning, but sometimes God uses us as the answer to our own prayer. And maybe God's doing that for you. Maybe God's calling you, maybe not to college ministry, but into some new ministry that he has for you. How are we doing in being witnesses? How are we doing in being a witness here in our own Jerusalem? Lord, thank you for these few minutes in your word. Thank you for the opportunity to just share our hearts of college ministry in general and then just spend some time focusing on what you've called all of us to do. And Father, I pray that you would allow us to have opportunities to be a witness to those who are around this week. Thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen.